Hello, everybody. You're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and in my beautiful West Town apartment is Michael Pritchard.
Hello, Brandon.
There it is.
Thank you for having me.
I haven't done anything, but thank you for coming. From here on out, Michael will be known as Mike because one syllable is easier than two. Mike is the lead singer, songwriter, guitarist of the wonderful band Otter Petter. Yes, no?
Yes.
Yes, he is. And
this is true.
Otter Petter was kind enough to play the first You, Me, Them, Everybody event at the Hungry Brain a few weeks ago. And I think it went well.
It went exceptionally well.
It was.
We had a great time.
I had a great time, too.
And that's the way to measure it.
Great times. It sounds like a beer commercial. You could talk more. It's okay. I promise you. You're just giving me this odd look slash about to laugh at me. And that's completely fine.
I need more booze.
I just poured him a drink because he's a good man. Anyways, it was kind of bittersweet because Otter Petter had to play the first night. And since it was the first night, we had to make sure that like we weren't too loud or anything. So I'm guaranteed that's the quietest anyone will ever see that band play.
Yeah, it was tame. But
it was tame, but I don't think you guys realized how like good it sounded.
Well, no, because we were behind the speakers.
You were behind the speakers, and I was walking around the bar the entire time. I had behind the stage, in front of the stage, in the back of the bar. Everywhere it sounded good.
No, it was great. Everybody said it was great. So
and how often
that's all that...
do people say it sounded good at a show?
One out of every five or six, maybe.
Yeah, it's not that often.
Not that often.
No. I think it was a good
that's,
show.
You know, we play the better clubs in town. Like
you do. You do play the better clubs in town. I think a week before you played for us, you played at, I think, The Bottle.
Yes.
And like
did.
The week before
the
that,
Bottle's excellent sound.
You played a different show, like at the Hideout or Sub T. Yeah, like you're playing good venues. The Brain sounds the best, obviously.
It does.
It sounds the best. That show is somewhat bittersweet because... Jarvis Cocker walked in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that kind of pissed me off, actually. Not that he was there. I love that he was there. I just wish he could have like heard a little bit of us, you know?
I don't know.
Drop a CD in his pocket after he says he likes it. But you can't do that just on, you know, you can't just walk up to a dude and be like, here's our CD. Then you're kind of a douche.
I think no matter what, you're going to be the douche. If you're gonna be...
Well, it's Jarvis Cocker, so him, and then I'm a douche.
Well, here's the real question. Could you be a lead singer in a band or a solo artist and not be a douche?
That's a good question. Somebody's going to think you're a douche,
exactly.
No matter what, because
so,
you're out there.
Exactly. You're putting something out there. Just accept the douchiness of it.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's
you have to sell it, too. There's a certain aspect of it that if you don't...
And you know what? You do sell it, sir, because you... shut up. You look the part.
Somewhat.
Let's be honest. I could not be the front man for your band.
Well, you could, but it would be a different band.
Well, then it wouldn't be the band.
And
I mean,
we would sound a little different, too.
Yeah. You write, for those of you that have heard the podcast, you've heard Otter Petter. Either way, we're going to start and end the show with this, so you've heard a little bit of Otter Petter by now. How would you describe the music?
It's just very pop. Oriented.
Pop as in like Lady Gaga and Gwen Stefani. Pop as in Smokey Robinson. Pop as in Michael Jackson. Give me pop.
It's kind of a little of all of those things. It's,
you're such. Come on. Don't do
I
the
mean,
funny
it's,
response.
It has, definitely has like a, you know, like our music is pop in that, you know, verse, chorus, verse sort
okay.
of deal. 3.5 minute songs, big choruses. But it's also sort of there's a little bit of rootsiness to it, like the chord changes and things like that.
Well, give me some examples when you say rootsiness, like what bands have also rootsy chord changes?
Rootsy. Even, you know, certain bands like, we don't sound anything like My Morning Jacket, but...
I could see the comparison,
but
though.
But the changes in the underlying musicality mm-hmm. below it, I mean, I think bands like that or Band of Horses and things like that, it still has that sort of foundation, I guess.
So, like an ideal tour of Otter Petter sandwich between two bands, who's opening and who's closing?
Oh man, that's kind of a hard thing. Everybody always says Death Cab for Cutie because
no, your
they
ideal
sound like that.
Your ideal,
because vocals, but
well, the Death Cab thing. No offense to you, of course, but until this newest Death Cab album, like I would have been angry of that comparison. If I were in your place.
Yeah. Well, it's the voice. The vocals. I have a very similar timbre in my voice, and people think that it sounds like that. We had a guy recently at the shoot that we did for NBC.
We will get to this shoot. This is exciting. To that. Yes.
One of the main head script guy Tony, who's a really really cool dude. We talked to him for a long time. He has awesome taste in music. Said, you know, the first night he thought we sounded like Death Cab, and the second night, the song that we played, the second song, he said sounded like Stars, which I could kind of see that comparison
too.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So, I mean, those are two pretty good examples, actually.
But do you like these bands, right?
I do. I like those bands a lot.
They're very good bands.
I like those bands a lot. I've just always listened to so much different kinds of music, especially growing up. I tend to listen lately. I've been listening more to just, you know, mostly indie rock. And if I listen to something soul or, you know, anything like in those lines, it's usually old.
Okay, you know, so
I love girl band music.
So it's all instrument based. It's not, there's no electronic stuff.
Not really. It's not a very big influence. I listened to some stuff like The Orb and things like that when I was in college.
Yeah. Whatever was like when electronic music was released, was a takeover
in 2000 or whatever.
When Prodigy was on the cover of Rolling Stone and Spin at the same time.
So that, I mean, there was some pretty cool stuff I listened to, but it never really influenced the sound.
Well, let's talk about how you write these songs. You're the main songwriter in the band, if not the only one. I don't know, and I don't want to get involved in that because that's a sticky situation. But you write the songs. You definitely write the lyrics. I know that, correct?
Right.
How does this process work? Are you a lyrics first guy? Are you a music first guy? Same time, same thing. Do you pitch the music? Do you play around with lyrics?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know,
because everybody does it a little different. And I usually don't just sit down and say I'm going to write a song about this.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen. It's usually, sometimes I'll just be, you know, usually I spend a lot of time just fiddling around on a guitar or on occasion a piano.
Is this at home or is this in the studio?
Home, but not as much at home anymore. Sometimes I go to a rehearsal space, just hang out there by myself once in a while.
When you're writing the songs, when it's just you, I should say, not necessarily writing, but just working on stuff, electric or acoustic, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah. And it just depends on the vibe, too. Like, sometimes I will just start playing around with guitars and play, like, a big, giant, dirty, distorted thing and start playing that. And that might even influence the tone of it and the lyrics that might even... whatever the line is that comes at the time. But a lot of times, I'll get a line in my head that I think... I don't know how it happens or where... Like, you just start playing and then this little melody jumps out at me.
Okay.
And... usually there's some sort of lyrical thing attached to it that is just feels natural with it.
Okay. Like, and when you say the lyrical thing, do you mean actual lyrics or do you mean the lyrical melody?
Actual lyrics too. The melody and some lyrics. Like there's some lines that like just feel right. Singing or saying with this, the way that like a lot of it is phrasing too. So like certain words, when you're phrasing something, certain words fit just right.
Okay.
And so you might say, well, I love the way that these three words sound over top of this little phrase with this melody and this chord. It's like really cool. Okay. And then I might start there and build around that and go, man, well, okay, what leads into that? And then before you know it, there's a bunch of ideas there and it's almost a song, you know, right then and there. Although a lot of times, I mean, for me, lyrics are more, I mean, unless it starts out with lyrics, which there's a few songs that have started out with lyrics, but most of the time it's usually I build the lyrics around, you know, this melody and vibe that I've kind of.
So usually, start both basically with the music, the main melody, and then lyrics will just happen to come. The lyrical melody slash lyrics will just come along with that,
right?
And then how does then when do you just present it to the band, or are they part of this process usually?
It just depends. It depends on the song. Like I'll show up and usually just start playing what I've got, and the rest of the band will add what they perceive to to be appropriate for that song. So, you know, Bill gets my brother, who's our drummer. We have some interesting times, but.
Let's be honest. When you say interesting times, you mean fighting. You fight about this.
Well, we sometimes, I mean, so I'll, you know, I think that we have a weird relationship when it comes to music because I don't think he takes well to when I say play a rhythm like this. And then a lot of times I will actually try to make the drum sounds with my mouth which just proceeds in making fun of me. No, I'll be like, no, play it more like this, or something like that, and then he'll be like, just like look at me like fuck you, you know.
You can swear, it's okay.
Yeah, and then you know Raphael just laughs, and it's just yeah. So I mean, that's always kind of awkward, but we've kind of gotten over that. We've gotten past that.
I don't think you should get past this. I think it's kind of wonderful because if you were with any other drummer, they probably would just do what you say, but they probably wouldn't care that much.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you gotta. This is another. Well, you gotta remember. Why am I telling you anything? I'm sorry. so the song, you give it to the band, then you play it live a few times. How often does the song change from initial, I'd say, demo stage to the live stage to the production stage? Or is it like once the core is there, it's there, and that's it?
No, it changes quite a bit, and some of the songs end up completely different, and on occasion though they are just straight ahead, like it's a 3-minute pop song, here's how it goes, and Bill just starts playing a pretty good beat, and I mean before you know it there it is, it's like done. Usually like we'll come up with some better you know backing vocal parts and some cool guitar lines to go along with it.
Speaking of really quick, for those of you that don't have the album, I highly recommend it simply to listen to it on really good headphones, because there are so many guitar lines that I didn't hear the first like 20 times I heard your album.
Yeah,
for example, they're on the jukebox at the brain. It's on the jukebox at the brain. I never picked it up. And then I put it on shows on here, and for the first time I'm listening on in good headphones, and there's like fucking 10 solos upon solos of like, right. It's obscene. It's wonderful, but you just miss that stuff. So
well, I absolutely love crazy killer guitars.
Yeah, and I can't really
play. I'm not like Raphael can really play some solos. Yeah. He's really talented when it comes to that. But that's not my deal. An album that really stands out for me, like another like sort of influential thing when I was like in high school, was Dinosaur Jr. Where You Been, which is like got the most ridiculous, awesome guitar solos, and he always hits this. There's like these minor chords and major sevens. That he always, and sorry for
people
this who are like not, don't know what I'm talking
we're
about.
We're learning. We're it's, all learning here.
When he hits certain notes, and maybe that makes me a douche for saying it like that, because it should just be like, fucking rock, yeah. But so he hits these notes just at the right time, and they like make you feel something. And like that kind of stuff has always been amazing to me. And so like that's really what, you know, my whole thing is just to create music that I would really want to listen to.
Okay,
that's my whole goal.
Here's the thing. You know? You obviously like Dinosaur Jr., but unlike Dinosaur Jr., I think girls like your band. And
they do, actually. I don't think guys like our band very much, to be honest with you. I think.
Hey, I hated your band for the first year I've known you.
Yeah, probably.
I totally hated your band, but that's cool. I mean, I appreciate it now because I've actually listened to it on good headphones.
But you can still hate it.
I don't.
You can hate it and appreciate it at the same time.
I think the problem with
it's
it
like
is
Justin Timberlake. I sort of hate that dude, but there's certain things about it I can appreciate.
Well, your songs are so fucking catchy, man.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword because, I think the same week, like the same time I got your record was like the same months I was listening to like the new Shellac and Queens of the Stone Age last year.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like those are the most two dude-friendly bands, and then your band. And it's weird because if you just break it down guitar-wise, like it's kind of similar to the Queen stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like I love Queens of the Stone Age. Yeah, I grew up listening to that, too, and like, you know, Rated R, like that. That record's
it's a
freaking great.
I've never seen a place with so much hair. It's a wonderful record. It's a wonderful song. Anyways, do you see any chance of your band, though it's unlikely because the older you get, I think, the more pop,
mellow people
more mellow.
Get.
Yeah, and that's normal. Do you ever see you guys just saying, like, putting out a B-sides record of just, like, loud guitar?
I would love to do that. I think that's a really great idea.
I think you should.
You would have to join the band.
I will frontman that shit.
Actually, maybe you should.
I think we have a new project. We have to come up with a name by the
Theater
end of
Petter?
The show. No, I hate my band's name. I think your band name is possibly like second worst to my band name. That's not, speaking of
you and Richard Millen, you guys can both agree on that.
I don't know because the more I think about it, it's like Not a Surf's a stupid name, and Death Cab for Cutie's a stupid name. And in all honesty, those are the people that's going to probably like you instantly.
Yeah.
So maybe the stupid name thing is a good idea because let's be honest, it's not a good name.
Well, I'm not going to say that.
You know
actually,
what? I like Bill's idea behind it. Bill told me this. I just it, to me, it's on par with Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots. I think those are awful names. I'm sorry. I love those. They're good bands.
Would you rather Pearl Jam be called Mookie Blaylock like they were?
No, actually, because Mookie Blaylock to me sounds like a bar band.
Yeah.
Where Pearl Jam sounds like a hippie band.
Yeah, they are hippie. Especially after that first record, like everything after that.
Musically or like?
Both.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, there's a lot of hippies who love that stuff. Oh, like, they will follow those guys till they die.
That's true, but musically, I disagree completely on the hippie front.
Really?
Oh, yes. If anything, their first record was the most hippie-ish with the most amount of solos there.
Oh, and I guess I could see that.
That was before Vedder was actually part of the songwriting process. He was just throwing lyrics on.
Yeah.
Fucking Verses, Go, the track one, there's no hippiness in that.
Yeah.
Vitalogy has stripped it all. That was their attempt.
I liked Vitalogy, actually.
That was their attempt of like half noise rock shit. I mean, come on. Absolutely no hippie. Why are we talking about Pearl Jam? Let's get back to Utter Pattern. Let's go back to the name. You like the name. I'm glad that you guys stuck by the name. I really am. Even though I don't like it, good for you. Good on you.
Well, you know, it takes balls.
It does. It kind of does take balls to have a name like Utter Pattern. Do you want to tell the origin story? You can make up one if you want.
No, I mean, you know, just Bill mostly came up with it. He liked the way it looked and sounded and the way you could write it. And it's just weird. And it also, the one thing I do like about it is that it has certain sexual connotations or overtones to it. But it's not. It really isn't. It is as like, you know, what's the word? It's
suggestive.
Kinda, well, no. It's, I mean, it's like it's as pristine and like gentle and clean and like it's just a really nice little thing. But people perceive that, you know, and then of course you hear things about what's an otter in the gay community, and so you hear all these other
things. What's an otter in the gay community?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it has something to do with your position in the relationship.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Clear it up.
I'm not going to go into details.
Clear it up.
I don't know enough in
this.
I'm
going to
offend somebody, so I'm going to leave it at that.
You've already. I like how it devolved into this. Anyways.
But anyway, so people always want to know, is there a sexual connotation there? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, no, really, there's not. But if you want to think that, you can think that. So it's ambiguous.
I've been in your rehearsal space, and I saw like the initial sheet of all the other band names.
Yeah,
I've had this conversation with people. That's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's way harder than writing songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a final thing too. Once you have a band name, I mean, we can't change our band name now.
No, like, you could. It would just be an awful idea.
Yeah, I mean, like every show would have to be listed as,
Yeah, I mean, I could name an album and I could name a song in like 5 seconds. Just. Ah, it's so frustrating. Anyways, you guys have been together for what, 4 years, 3 years now?
A little over 4 years,
A little over 4 years. And I'd say recently in the past month, you've gotten, hopefully, your biggest break yet.
Yes, hopefully. We're crossing our fingers.
Yeah, at this point, this is out of your control, too. And this is something, it seems to be the one way bands like that aren't, just bands in general, actually.
Yeah, anymore. It's
unknown bands. This is like the one way to get known, and that's TV shows.
Yep.
And you are in a pilot that we might one day see. You yourself included, actually.
Yes.
I've heard about this. You got picked up by who? How did this happen? What happened?
Well, it's kind of weird. I mean, I won't drag it out too long, but I was at work, and I work at a software company, and I just don't really like that. It's a day job. Whatever. We all have them. It pays the bills. But so I'm sitting there at work, and I get a phone call, and the guy says, you know, I work with NBC, and we're shooting a pilot, and we'd like to feature your band as, you know, the band in the show and feature your songs, but also have you in the show. And he kind of just, you know, goes on a little bit about that, and I was just kind of confused. At first, I was like, who is this?
Yes. Did you believe him?
Are you messing? Like, who is this guy? Like, I'm thinking two things. One, it's somebody's friend, like, screwing around with me.
Oh, yeah.
Or two, it's some, like, dude just trying to get us to, like, throw down $500 for a chance to be in a TV show so that they could submit our music to a TV. I'm like, who is, you know, is this a scam artist? Because those... They're everywhere.
They
trying
exist.
To make money off of
There's
bands.
A whole festival based in Chicago.
So I thought maybe it's one of those. Well, no, this guy's for real. Okay, well. So
you got off the phone with him. Like, do you look him up instantly? Or
yeah, well, I looked. He told me the name of the show. The name of the show is State of Romance.
Okay.
I'm not going to say either way about. Like, I'm not going to talk to this show really. I'm not sure.
Well, you've read the script, but you've seen only from your. We'll get to that. I've only seen a few scenes.
But yeah, it's called this. It's called State of Romance. It's based in Chicago, and it's a romantic comedy, and it is produced by a fairly hot director named Peter Soleil, who is the guy who directed Nick and Nora's Playlist, or Infinite Playlist.
Yeah.
Which is the movie about the two kids driving around New York and listening to indie rock.
Yeah.
And the whole point of the show thing is indie rock. And so I guess, you know, our band was right up their alley or something for this show.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
They could get you cheap for now.
And I like most of the bands on that soundtrack. You know, it's pretty good.
Speaking of, have you seen that film?
I still haven't seen
it either. All right. Going back to the
I still haven't seen the movie. I will rent it though soon. But I was just amazed, you know, just to get a call like that out of the blue, because it's not like something we were, you know, shooting for.
No.
Like we didn't.
How do you even shoot for that?
Well, you don't. You just.
Well, here's the thing.
It's just random, you know.
Do you have a guy or do you like pay somebody to try to get your stuff into TV shows?
We don't have a guy.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how to say it.
The last couple of months, I went through one organization that does submit your music to them, but this didn't come from that.
So the biggest bag had nothing to do with
it. It had nothing to do with anything like that. I actually I can throw props out. Thank you to Richard Milne and the crew at XRT.
Yes.
It's a wonderful... XRT 93.1
is FM. It's probably the most... It's definitely the most well-respected rock and roll station in Chicago.
By far. And in fact, you know, most of the country, it's probably one of the best rock stations.
I've only lived here, and I really enjoy it. All their shows, specifically Local Anesthetic, I really enjoy that feature, which is Richard Milne, right?
Yep, exactly.
And I really enjoy the Eclectic Company with the John Langford show, and they're great. Anyways, back to the band.
So, yeah, well, I mean, basically, the producers were looking for if they could get one that fit the bill just right or whatever, and they liked it, they wanted a Chicago band to be in the first episode / pilot. And so they had contacted WXRT and asked for a list of bands that they might recommend, and we were one of those, you know, 10, 15 bands that they recommended. Because
do you know who the other ones are?
There's only about 400 Chicago bands.
Yeah.
I do know...
don't tell me now, but afterwards you promise you
I'm not
going to
say, but yes, I did ask one of the head writers, and who's actually a pretty well-known writer, and she's... awesome person.
You can say what she wrote.
Talk to her for a while. She's one thing she wrote just randomly. She wrote an episode of Murphy Brown a while ago, but
that's awesome.
Just because that's also a Seinfeld reference, and that makes me laugh. Yeah, she did write an episode of Murphy Brown, but she's been involved with many very well known projects, TV shows. So anyway, I was talking to her. So she dropped some names to me. But I won't say who they were. But anyway, so they had a list of bands, and then they had some other lists of bands that they had, and they went through them. And the producers and director and the head writers somehow ended up on Otter Petter.
When did you find out about this process? About the 15 to you guys. Like, where are you? When do you find out?
When the guy first called me, he said we're one of like three or four bands that they're considering.
So you're already like this. They've already been going over this.
Yeah,
stuff
they had been going over
it
for a long time. They narrowed it down to like three bands,
unbeknownst to you whatsoever.
Right. We had no idea this was. We didn't know anything about this. Who knows how long this had been going on?
Yeah, this is wonderful.
And so yeah, by the time we got knowledge of it, which is good because I don't like to wait around to find out about stuff
that'd
like that.
Be awful.
It would have been torture. So the next day, I ran over, dropped off a CD with the production crew. And, you know, they said, okay, well, thanks a lot. You know, we're thinking about, and one of our songs that we've promoted pretty heavily, like, on, you know, through, obviously, our MySpace and downloads and all that, the song is The Rest of the World. And he said that was the song that really caught their ear. They wanted that song. So, but he wanted me to bring CDs. So I brought both of our records by, dropped them off. Real nice people. It was cool. And at that point, then I realized it was the real thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm walking around.
Because
I'm walking around in this office, and I'm like, you know, holy crap! There's like this team of writers in this one room, and like you can see them just all like brainstorming. There were a few actors going over some things in this other room, and it was like the real deal. And I was like, wow, this isn't bullshit. Okay, so I dropped off the CDs, and then the guy calls me the next. A couple days later, actually, so this was like a Friday, I dropped off the CDs. He calls me on Monday, and he says, well, we've all listened to everything, and we definitely want you guys. You know, will you do it? You know, cleared up the dates. Okay, great. And then he's like, except we don't want The Rest of the World. We want a song called Turn Out the Lights, and you're going to perform that at the Double Door. And then he's like, we want a song called The 4th of July, which is a very, you know, big poppy, one of the poppiest songs.
I used it on this show.
They for really?
It was bumper music. It was to plug the show at the Brain.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. I got the okay from your brother.
By oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know, I'm registered with BMI.
I am not paying you for this at all. At all. You owe me money.
I'm getting paid in booze. So,
that's right.
That's all. We don't make any money.
That's
anyway.
How bands work anyway.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he calls me and he says, but we need an acoustic version of it. And so that kind of threw me off a little bit. I was like, well, what?
For the 4th of July.
He didn't specifically say the 4th of July. He said they want the 4th of July. He's like, but do you have any other more acoustic sounding songs that we could throw in there? I was like, well, I don't know. I'll go back and we'll think about it. And then we thought about reworking some of the songs. I didn't know. So I called him the next day and I said, I don't know, man. We don't really have any acoustic recordings that you could disperse, you know? And he's like, well, I talked to the guys and they want an acoustic version of The Rest of the World. And I said, well, we got these other couple of songs. And then he interrupted me and he said, no. He's like, this is what they want. They want an acoustic version of this song. And I was like, he's like, it doesn't have to have no, you know, he's like, it can have the drums, it can have some keyboards. He's like, but it needs to have the acoustics, you know, acoustic guitars. Like, it needs to be like more of a party vibe. So I said, okay, well, you know.
Whoa, stop, stop, stop. Party as in like party, or party as in like we're gonna have wine and
yeah, more like that, like kind of like a, well, the vibe is a tent party in Millennium Park. So whatever that means to you guys, I don't know, but yeah. So anyway, we scrambled and went back, took the tracks we had, and re-recorded a bunch of acoustic guitars over top of it, and then I decided I don't know, after just listening back to it and knowing the kinds of music that those guys had put in other things, a lot of times they have a really nice sort of guy girl back and forth thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, and the song is, I mean, as cheesy as you know, you hate our band. We're cheesy as hell. And so it's a love song to the nth degree. Like, it is like,
it's not cheesy. It's sincere. It's sincere.
It is sincere.
It's very sincere, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. I'm serious.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brandon.
If you came off, there's a difference. Because if you didn't come off as insincere, it'd be like date rape rock.
Yeah, it would be sick.
It would be awful. But since it's sincere and it's obvious that it's sincere, it's good.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it's a song about being in love with somebody.
That's exactly right. And it's not like...
It's real.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so, you know, it comes off as a love song. So the... So we had our new bassist, Amy Anderson.
Who has stepped into, like, the best bass situation ever.
By the way, she's like, the fourth wow, gig. Look at this. Yeah, third, fourth gig. She's already on NBC.
That's so great.
But yeah, so we had her sing the second lines. Like, so I would sing a line, and then we had her record lines on it. And it sounds really great.
Yeah,
and it's pretty, and it added a lot to the song. And actually, I'm sort of... I like it better maybe than the original now. And so we did that. Bill is a recording expert.
Yeah. He did the album.
He did the album. And the next album, by the way, is going to sound even better. We got even better stuff and maybe even better songs. So we'll see how that goes, but arguably. But yeah, so we submitted the song, and like, I guess everyone over there at NBC loved it. So they chose that. And yeah, we were on our way to television.
So this is you find out, and then you actually go to the Double Door in Millennium Park like a week later. Is that it?
Yeah, like literally a week later.
A week later, you're there for how long are the days?
16-hour days.
16-hour days.
Two back to back, Thursday and a Friday, shooting at Double Door and then at Millennium Park.
How many times did you play each song, do you think?
Well, we didn't. Well, Bill played. I guess you could say I played, but it wasn't.
You lip sync.
Right, we had to lip sync everything. Well, I was really singing though. I was really singing along with it as loud as I could.
The mic wasn't on or something.
Right, exactly. They weren't recording the live footage, but we were really playing. The amps weren't on.
But okay, so it's like Chicago or something. For those of you,
yeah, yeah.
So I'm gonna go with a really obscure reference to if you lip synced with instruments and you actually play the instruments that they weren't plugged in.
Exactly.
Okay, so the toys were off.
The toys were off, but we were really playing. But yeah. Whatever. So,
but how many times do you think you played?
You know what? Surprisingly, we didn't do it that many times. The first night at Double Door, we probably only played the song like 4 or 5 times.
What?
I'm not kidding you. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
the weirdest thing is that, like, so they were doing this one scene, and the scene probably lasts 30 seconds, maybe a minute, something like that. Yeah. I don't even, it's hard to remember, but every time they start the scene, they play our music. So they're playing Turn Out the Lights, the very beginning of it, or like, and it's put different chunks of it, but whenever they start, before they roll, they play the music, and they record the crowd in the Double Door. They had like 70 extras.
Okay.
And the crowd, the first thing is they say rolling background, and when they say background, they start our music, and then everybody in the crowd starts bouncing around to our music, and they get footage of that. And well, the funny thing is you see that like 20 times, 30 times when they're doing the same scene to get the line. It starts to get to you. You start to lose your mind. You're like, you know, we're looking at each other like, what the hell? Where? You just almost start laughing.
Are they
at
like,
death
like
because you don't
bouncing like it's like the Pumpkins 1979 video where it's like consistent jumping?
Not jumping, no. Like, you know, hipster head bobbing.
Okay.
These were all hipsters. All of the extras were hipsters.
Did you know any of them?
No. I don't think I knew any of them. So a few of them knew who we were.
That's
good. A couple
good.
Of them randomly, yeah, did.
That's good.
But yeah, no, it was all new people, pretty much.
All right, then you go to Millennium Park the next day.
Yeah.
How many times do you play that song?
Well, Millennium Park was a little crazier because we were in the background of most of the shots. So being in the background of all the shots, they had to have us acting like we were playing. But we didn't get to lip sync to our music. Like, there was no music because you can't have any noise while they're filming certain scenes because they're going to edit the music later. So we just basically had to act like we were playing a song. Like, we were playing something. So we just bobbed around, and I was, like, acting like I was singing. I had to come up with, like, songs to sing in my head and just, like, mouth the words to and sort of play guitar on. Like, I wasn't playing Otter Petter songs.
So they didn't care that you were not playing the track that they're going to back?
No. It just kind of looked like you're playing so that later on when they go back to edit it.
Are you sitting on stools at this performance?
No, we're standing on a stage. So it was a long night.
Yeah.
It was really... really long night. You know, we got home at like 8 in the morning.
Jesus. So is the pilot...
6 p.m. to 8 a.m., you know?
Jesus. And you guys got paid scale, right? So it's not like you got paid overtime or nothing?
No. Amy and I get scale because we have voice. Kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
If you have a voice part, then you get paid actor's rate. Bill and Raphael were the scrubs because they didn't have any vocal parts.
The two guys that have been in the band the longest with you.
They got the standard $65 extras rate. But they didn't
let them
They
hum?
Got to eat the good food, though.
You didn't get the good food?
Yeah, we got the, you know, we were talent when it came to, like, the food and the coffee and the... I got a really nice smoothie. All
Whoa.
Fruit smoothie. Oh, yeah. but other than that... other than that, it was pretty rough, but it was cool. It's an experience,
so
you know,
if let's say, fingers crossed, this pilot gets picked up.
Yeah,
what happens?
Well,
are the odds? Actually, I don't know about this. Do you?
I don't want to say anything. I don't really know. I mean, I don't want to have my hopes up. If I had to guess, like one way or the other, I mean, my inclination would tell me yes, just because of how much money is being spent on it and
it
the directors
like
and the writers who are involved. But at the same time, I don't work in television.
Yeah.
And I've never been on a TV show, so I don't know what... Maybe they're all like that, unless you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Is it an hour long or half hour long?
I think it's a half hour long.
Okay, and it's for sure NBC?
For sure NBC. It would be a primetime show. And we would definitely be featured in two different segments, and we will be seen in two different segments.
And I hope this gets picked up, because, yes, that would be wonderful.
It would be. It would be really great. The only thing is we're kind of like, well, then what?
Yeah, that's right? A good point.
It's like, well, then what do we do?
Make sure all of your music is easily accessible on iTunes.
You know the best part of it? Well, yeah, all that stuff is up there, but...
I put that new version...
Yeah, we're gonna try to figure out a way to get that up there. I'm not sure how to do it yet. For just one song, but we'll figure it out. Actually, thank you for reminding me.
Not a problem.
Right,
if anything,
now.
This is about reminding you of tasks you need to accomplish.
But yeah, the funniest thing about that, when we were sitting around, Bill, who is, you know, our drummer, my brother, and also our webmaster. He's sort of the techie guy, you know. Before we even got chosen, like, we were talking about, oh, wow, what if they do pick us, you know? And Bill's like, I don't know. What if everybody saw us on a TV show and then they went to our website and whatever, and Bill's like, yeah, they probably crash our website. Like, that was the thing he was worried about most. It's like, man, they're going to crash the website.
He's a practical guy.
You know? Like, it wasn't like, oh, man, we'll have to, like, you know, sell a bunch of CDs or go on a tour or, like, you know, whatever. Like,
that, make that money might on this
make some, actually make a little money or something, you know? No, it was, oh, man, they're going to crash my website.
That's so wonderful. That's yeah. So wonderful. We got to close this out sooner or later. Really quick, your upcoming shows, your next three shows, they're not necessarily... Let's just go through them in order.
Okay.
The next show is...
We're playing an afternoon, early afternoon, like, set. I think it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Abbey. April 19th, it's a Sunday, and it's part of the International Pop Overthrow.
So this is probably the best chance for you to see Outer Pedder in City Limits during the afternoon.
Yeah, on a Sunday.
On a Sunday. So this is. So think of it that way.
So we'll be hungover, and you can be too.
You know what? I'm thinking we party that night. And yeah, we stay up.
We should probably just get nuts.
That's right. The next show is in Milwaukee.
Yeah, then we're playing Milwaukee at a place called Lineman's, and it's May 1st.
Okay, that's a Friday
8 o'clock at night.
That's a Friday night. Friday. Good show.
And then,
and then here's the coup d'etat.
We might be playing some shows in between these.
No, the big one. Go to the
big one.
Yeah.
Drum roll. Yes, we are playing. We will be featured at Six Flags Great America.
Hell yeah, you will.
Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois.
Hell yeah.
So we'll be playing a few different sets throughout the afternoon.
Are you serious? You got to play like four sets?
Yeah, like three or four sets.
How long?
Like 30 minutes.
Wow, you're going to go deep in the catalog, or you're going to repeat?
I don't know, we might just repeat. I think it's kind of like being in a zoo. You're like this, like, you know, monkey behind the cage, and people just walk by, and I kind of see it as, well, you know, you have your, like, or like the dude in the subway, you know? People come down, they're only down there for 10 minutes. Probably only has four songs that he plays.
Yeah, and he makes, like, a lot of money, more than, like, a normal band, I'm guessing.
More than we'll make at the Six Flags.
More than you'll make at the Six Flags. But on the plus side...
On the plus side, we get into Six Flags, we go have a good time, and we ride some rides, and
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
fun.
You just gotta play just because you can.
Exactly.
That's a wonder... When is that?
You know, when you're a kid, like, going to Six Flags, you never think your band's gonna be playing at Six Flags. That's,
and even
totally weird.
When you're in a band, you don't think your band's gonna play at Six Flags.
No, you don't. It's just totally
What is the
weird.
Six Flags show?
Six Flags show is Saturday, June 6th.
Ooh, summertime.
Summertime.
We're all gonna get tans.
Yeah, it's gonna be... I'm sure that place is gonna be packed. Nobody wants to go to Six Flags on a Saturday.
Full of sailors on leave and utter... Yeah.
As long as nobody throws up on my guitar, I'll be okay.
There's like a 1 in 2 chance that's gonna happen.
There is.
I don't know why I find so much joy in your band playing at Six Flags.
It's awesome.
It's fucking absurd. All right, we're gonna close this thing with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. Give me a number 1 to 260.
3.
Good.
I just didn't want you to work too hard, and we've taken
thanks.
Up a lot of time. I'm a kind of a blabbermouth.
No, it's wonderful. I mean, obviously, I'm not. The less I talk, the better it is. Okay, 3. If your mother promised to be home at 2 in the afternoon to take you to the movies but didn't show up until supper time and didn't even phone, what would be a good punishment for her? Would punishing her be likely to make her on time in the future?
Really?
Really?
That's the question.
Do you want to read it yourself?
That's weird, by
I
the
know.
Way. That's really... What's this book called again?
The Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. It's a fucking wonderful book.
Leave it to the doctors. So what would be a good punishment?
No, would you punish her if she was...
Oh, would I?
She was supposed to be home at 2. She wasn't. She was home until supper time. She didn't call.
She didn't call?
She didn't call,
That's
man.
Cold.
That's cold.
I'd probably just let it go.
Okay, good.
I'm just not that kind of guy.
Would
just
you,
not a punishing kind of guy.
Do you think that by not punishing her, she'll show up on time the next time?
I'll let her know that it hurt me.
So you will let her know?
Yeah. So there's no the punishment isn't yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, you hurt me deep.
Mom. We're going to close this one.
My mom never hears this. Okay.
That's a good if she go, I don't think she'll get to 39 minutes, by the way.
And it will happen again.
Okay, that's good. You finally finished the question. For Otter Petter stuff, where should people go?
They can go to myspace.com/OtterPetter.
OTTERPETTER.
Exactly. Or otterpetter.com.
Heyo. .com business. What's up? Blowing up.
And yeah, that's That's the deals.
Wonderful. What song should we close this thing with?
What song?
From your album.
Oh, you've got it sitting there?
I have it in here, in the beautiful computer.
You've got the Fireflies and Lamplights record?
I got the Fireflies and Lamplights record.
Oh, man. Why you do that? I don't know.
I've only
heard those songs like 800 times each.
I'm here to plug your band, idiot. Fucking
could play some Guided by Voices or something.
No, all I right. don't want to pay them money.
All right. Shit. Let me think.
You can just give me a number and I'll play that track.
Well, I tell you what. Since it's going to be on a TV show, play... turn out the lights.
There you go. So that's what you're gonna hear. Now, really quick, to plug the. Hold on, turn. I gotta write all this down. Sorry. We're gonna have another Hungry Brain event. It's gonna be Monday, April 20th. It's gonna be a bunch of readers of books and zines, zine reading. So come on by. It'll be a fun time on a Monday night, free, no cover. And then on
Otter Petter will be there.
Will you really?
I'm sure. What else are we doing?
That's fair enough. That's why I love you guys. And then on Monday, May 4th, it'll be Daniel Knox. So,
oh, nice.
But not the readings. Just I'll be there. I won't be nice. But either way, here's Otter Petter. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Brandon.
Go to their
it's
website.
It's been a pleasure.
Go to the website, youmethemeverybody.com. Thank you.
On the phone.